and Paul nodded approval to the death of Stephen, or Saul at that time. And then everybody but the apostles took off. And then it says everybody that took off went everywhere telling people the good news. Now, these people should have been afraid for their lives. And they were afraid for their lives because of the good news. So how could they still consider it to be good news? You would think they would just shut up and save their lives. But you see, the good news was far greater than the things that were attacking them. They knew that the answer to everything that was going on was the good news. They didn't look at the desert, they didn't look at Stephen getting murdered as the end of it. They looked at it as just another piece in the puzzle. God was still good news. I mean, Stephen left them with quite a statement. Oh, I see heaven opened up. And Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father. He had the good news. And so he left them with good news. And so to these people that were going everywhere, this was still good news. Because they looked for the good news. I just was listening to Kenneth Copeland talk about, and it just struck me, because he says some things sometimes that challenge you, you know? And he made this statement, you know, and he wasn't necessarily talking about the good news so much, whether that's all good news, but he was talking about the fact that the promises of God have always been there, but I guess as Bernie said, receiving them. And he said, don't sit around and say you're not getting them if you're not bothering to receive. If you're not reading your Bible, you're not going to get the Bible. If you're not praying, you're not going to get the answer to your prayers. You know, God's not going to force anything on you. But if you're doing what the Word says, then you're going to get it. Don't sit and say, well, I don't know why God isn't doing it when you ain't doing what God says for you to do. But he mentioned the fact that John must have caught on to it pretty well because they couldn't kill him. History says that they boiled John in oil, couldn't kill him. And Kenneth Copeland says, so they shipped him off to an island and he wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ. They couldn't stop him. We need to understand that we're unstoppable in Christ Jesus. But we need to get into everything that Christ Jesus has for us. We can't expect somebody else to. My wife can't do my praying or Bible reading for me. Nor can I do it for her. She might get me a blessing as long as I'm blessable. I want to be blessable. And sometimes people aren't blessable. Once we're saved, it's up to us to be blessable. To be in the place of the blessing. Understand that? You have to be in the place, okay? Philip was told to go to a desert road, a road in the desert, and so he did. And so there he was. And so there he met the Ethiopian eunuch, who turned out to be the treasurer of the nation. And he told him the good news, baptized him, and poof, he was gone. That's quite an experience in the desert. So now, if we were going to decide how we would behave in a desert, should we sit down and be in an, oh, woe is me, I'm in a desert? Or should we go, wow, this is a good spot. I'm looking for the treasure right now. I'm looking for the opportunity. When you're in a desert, you're going to have an opportunity to show somebody that it ain't so bad in the desert. See, when I think of deserts, my major reference to a desert is my wife. Because many years ago, we came down out of the mountains from Flagstaff, Arizona, into the desert, headed for Phoenix. And when we hit the bottom of that mountain and we hit the desert, my wife was just jumping up and down and clapping her hands and going, woo! Because we saw these great big cactuses in real life. They aren't just in the movies. They were there. And I mean, we had to drive.